Say it again.
I don't understand why the angels would be involved in the cell if they stand outside of man and take man to the guff.
Because the cell is not just because the cell is the diagram is not just a cell. It's
remember
many
the cell. Yeah, the
it's a building.
The
it's
cell
many environments.
Yeah, within the cell is the representation of the larger dynamic as well.
You're within the diagram. The diagram is showing every possible movie plot that could come up with.
Sorry, I thought you said that the angels actually participated in.
Yeah. This diagram shows many beings floating to the guff, guided by angels.
So it's not just the perfect cell, it's
right.
Beyond the perfect cell.
It contains every image that could be, every experience that a little man will go through before it obliterates itself in ascension, in the ascended Yamaka continent that the original Earth had, that one continent.
So this perfect cell is going to disappear once the ascension happens?
Yeah, there's going to be 144,000 dangling double helixes in this cell, in this diagram. I call it dangling. Just imagine 144,000 double helixes. Now look at the numbers on the
ring.
So
are they present already, or they're to come?
Yeah. It's the image of the perfect cell. So you go to ring 12, and you see all those little numbers that go around in detail around ring 12, which it looks like the outer ring, and then there's a black line around the 12th ring. Well, there's a space between the 12th ring and the black line, the black edge, and that's the 13th ring, and then the 14th ring is the black line itself, the border.
Oh, so it's not the big wide ring with the numbers and letters.
That's the 12th ring. The 12th ring looks like it's the outer ring, right?
Right.
Right. So there's the space between the 12th ring and the dark line that makes the dark circle that makes the membrane of the whole picture. That's the 14th ring. And there's a space between the dark line, the outer edge, which you might call it the membrane, and the numbered section. And that empty space is the ionosphere, which is the 13th ring. So you don't see the 13th ring. You don't see a space. Okay, so the 12th ring has all these numbers. That's all the ratios of movement that Ion talks about in the dodecahedron or in triangulation or in the relationships of, outer environmental frequencies in relation to the inner chemistry of the first six rings.
Wow.
So the only book that attempts to show many environments on each page is Finnegan's Wake. So this is like Finnegan's Wake, Joyce didn't know it, but it was describing this diagram and all the environments and sounds and images you could see in it. You could take this diagram and make a huge theme park, like a Disney Epcot Center, have many, many hologramic environments for each ring.
So
and people line up and walk around. They'd be walking around what this is a blueprint of.
So is it also a blueprint of the Bible?
Yeah. It's about what the Bible's about. You heard the last session. Remember the Garden of Eden? Had Axiom water and other things there? The perfect cell lives in the Garden of Eden. Hmm. So the constituency of the first six rings would be perfect or have certain chemicals, and it would be inside the outer seven rings. That would be the Garden of the vibration or known experience or feelings in the Garden of Eden. So it's a picture of the cell of the being in the Garden of Eden, which is at the end point of the punchline of the Bible. So it's a chart of going through all the different books in the Old Testament towards the first book, Genesis. So Ginny, do you see the Ark of the Covenant reflected in the inside part of the circle?
Yeah, I do, because I think that every place that man placed his power, he took it in a box. I mean, the bones of Joseph were a reference to DNA. The hair of Pharaoh is a reference to DNA. The broken law, the broken tabs is in the angel chart. It's reflected in all the degrees of separation and stuff. I mean, yeah, I just think that it's in there. You could call it a zone or something to that effect, but I know that the ark is in the tabernacle, and I know that the mercy seat covers the ark, and the mercy seat is located in the throne room. And
that's why you'd have the ark outside of the cell, outside of the perfect ellipse circle, because it's the fallen state, whereas the diagram is the perfected state. So the Ark of the Covenant would not be inside.
But, Bob, there's things in the those 49, all those layers of heaven, you know, that chart that I did that we still haven't put back into the angel diagram that has all the different layers of heaven and stuff like that, that's in that diagram.
Yeah, it's in the tenth ring. We already did that.
It's in the tenth ring.
It's in the tenth ring. I mean, we did it in terms of we knew that's where it belonged.
Those are the levels of heaven. Those are the levels of hell, heaven, the apocalyptic struggles. That's not the Ark of the Covenant.
No, I understand. But, Bob, the apocalyptic struggles that are in, like you said, every invention, every image that anybody could ever hold is in the perfected cell. The thing about it is that from the force field of love, from 6.944 megahertz frequency, it includes all things. So all those apocalyptic scenarios are in that.
Right, but not the Ark of the Covenant.
Why wouldn't it contain all?
Because
things?
It's outside.
Why wouldn't it contain the Ark?
Because it's an image. Remember, it's an image of the perfect cell. The Ark of the Covenant has nothing to do with the perfect cell. It's the beginning. It's the beginning of the fallen cell. Going
but
to one DNA.
I thought everything was God. Even the Ark.
No, no, nothing's God. Oh. Only your mouth is God. Only your mouth is God.
But Bob, even all the effects of the fallen state. All I'm saying is the effects of the fallen state that include.
Right, but not the Ark. The Ark is the cause of it. Or at least the way Ion lays it out, the Ark is put outside the circle. It's the tabernacle. It's,
okay.
It's not engaged with the perfect cell. But the drama that one gets to get the perfect cell is what's laid out inside the circle.
Okay.
Do you know where the Ark of the Covenant was in Solomon's Temple?
Are you asking me, like,
yeah,
literally according to Bible knowledge?
Have you heard from Ion where the Ark of the Covenant is?
In relation to Solomon's Temple.
No. In relation to Solomon's Temple. Where was it originally?
Originally it was with Moses.
Right, and then they went and built Solomon's Temple.
Well, David had it for a while, yes, and they made the brush arbors that carried it around and put it in Solomon's Temple.
Then they got the Solomon's Temple. Did you know
right,
that
and
it,
then it got
was...
carried out of Solomon's Temple?
So maybe correct? You haven't heard this other part.
What other part?
You know, the stuff that they tell Carolyn. The stuff that they tell Carolyn.
That you get by default?
Yeah, I get it by default. It certainly, they don't want me to know it. They know I'll abuse it, so. But they can't keep me out of the room, so I get to overhear it.
they want to keep you, like the Ark, out of the perfect cell.
Yeah, they keep Bob. I have the dark soul. You know that.
Okay, you're the dark soul.
Yeah.
I'm Doobie. What is it called in Harry Potter? Dobby? That little elf guy leaping about? Bob Dobby. Bob Dobbs.
No. Harry Pooter. Harry Pooter.
Harry Pooter, right. So you would go through the 14 rings as we've annotated it in the notes there. You will see fragments of our summaries of each ring.
Okay.
So the basic point is you got the inner chemistry, you got the chromosome in the middle, chromosome 14, and you work towards the RNA and DNA, which is the fifth and sixth rings. And then you go through this transforming weird Escher thing that's going in and out and up and down in probably that difficult tactile space that's transformation from the inner to the outer,
mm-hmm.
or from the chemical to the frequency vibration.
And that's where all the gates are.
Yeah, and then there's the gate aspect, which relates to environments, but also to your emotional states. And the emotions of Job are in the eighth or ninth ring. The emotion of having a job. When you're a little man, have a job, you go through, and there's a noble emotion. You're supposed to be tolerant of your fellow workers, and you don't cause shit, and you pay your union dues. All those kind of emotions of higher solidarity for the group are in what ring is that, Brian? The eighth ring or ninth ring?
What emotions? It's in ninth ring.
Yeah, the higher those triangles coming in, Sue. If you look at the ninth ring, you know, ring or two after the Escher, those coming in are the higher emotions for little man that he has to have for some reason. I missed that part of the seminar.
Mm-hmm.
You'll have to investigate it.
So is joy an emotion?
I don't know.
Well, it says the angels will experience great joy. And if they don't have emotions, then joy is just a feeling.
Yep. See the tangled question you get yourself into if you think? I wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole.
Okay. Well, it's 20 after 2 in the morning for me, Bob.
2:22.
How much longer will we be going?
Two more minutes for you, so you can quit at 2:22.
Yep.
So, Barbara, are you getting a sense that there's a lot to ask about this chart if you want to think about it?
Yeah, well, yeah, there's a lot to it. So I want to review notes and...
So what do you think of that, Sheldon?
Well, it's very complex, but at least it makes a little more sense now that I've heard some of that.
Yeah. We create a kind of a pattern of order for it, symmetry, try to put it into some context, and then that will shift, and you get more agile in looking at it at different levels or scenarios.
Well, the thing is, you're looking at it flat. It's a flat, linear picture of, let's say, a slice of the cell.
Yeah, think of yourself as inside a snow globe, and the 14 rings are floating around. That's really what this image is flattened.
Mm-hmm.
So the snow globe would have vibrational environments around you, frequencies, and that would be affecting your inner body chemistry. And the body chemistry would be affecting the outer frequency. So they go back and forth.
Right. And then in your imagery, if you will, when you take it from being flat to a sphere, then the 14 degrees of freedom become, you know, easier to visualize or come to life or.
Yeah.
So, is this our orb?
Yeah, I was just thinking of that little round ball that Harry Potter and them chased in their broomstick sport.
Oh, yeah.
And he ends up being given that little ball by Dumbledore, doesn't he?
Quidditch.
Trumbledore.
Well, I've never seen the names. I've only heard them.
Rumpa-pum-pum.
Yeah, Rumpa-dum-pum.
The riddle drummer boy.
But that little ball, doesn't he get given that? Isn't he carried around in the later movies? The little thing they chased in the game?
Yeah, I don't know if he carries it around.
But he's holding it at one point. So that is like an early, that's like this diagram. But it would get bigger once he understood it more. And to the level Brian's calling it a sphere. So I was thinking that, and then someone said something. Sue, what did you say? A little ball?
Yeah, I said, is this our orb?
Oh, yeah, the orb, right.
That we're holding on the throne of our ascension.
So does I am concur with all the meanings that you guys have been talking about for this angel
sometimes.
Card? We have once or twice. Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes, but Ian wouldn't hold himself to any of those things. Because he's probably got other aspects he wants to point out about it. So as he says,
over that next time, what
right.
Ian thinks about it.
Yeah, what Ian says is, remember what Ian says, we will agree with you at this point, but when we move to another level, it'll all change. And we wouldn't agree anymore with what we thought we knew about it.
Well, your knowing will be from a different perspective, which will be inclusive of the better knowing.
Yeah.
Right.
What does 14 degrees of freedom mean?
Oh, yeah, there's Jill. Is that Jill?
Yeah.
Oh, great. You're still here.
Yeah.
I guess Chad or Ion could answer
question.
That.
Oh, no. Answer the question.
Well, I don't know what they are.
Okay. Like in an airplane, you'd have, 3 degrees of freedom? Up, down, roll, maybe 4. Well, this is the description of exactly 14 degrees of freedom. And Chad was wheeling them off a little bit earlier.
What is it, slant, tilt?
Do we have...
Pitch.
Yeah, do we have the 14 degrees of freedom in the wiki notes? It should...
Should.
So, I've seen them in notes somewhere, so...
I mean,
slant,
like,
tilt,
is a somersault a degree of freedom, or are these, like...
No, that's a good one. Is somersault one, Ion?
No, Bob. Somersault. What is that?
No, I mean, going, spiral, I don't know.
They're listed at Chad.
Tilt, spin, pitch, roll, yaw, flip, heave, sway, surge, phase, amplify, beam, null, and segue.
Notice there was spin.
Oh,
somersault
yeah,
could be seen
it.
As a spin.
So these are like, is this wave terminology or is this?
No, just take it down. Pretend you're in kindergarten class and you're playing with shapes on the table. Pick up the shape and, pick it up and spin it.
Okay.
Pick it up and flip it, roll it.
Tilt it.
Sway it, surge it,
Y'all,
you're right, though. There are some things in here that are associated with waves, like phasing, amplify, beams, and nulls. Beams and nulls you can look up in, like, antenna science.
I thought Jill said lathe, L-A-T-H-E. I thought that was pretty sophisticated, but she said wave, W-A-V-E.
Maybe she did. I heard wave.
Yeah, I said wave. I never heard of that other word, Bob.
Lathe.
Lathe. Like on a
carpenter
shop.
Okay. Yeah.
Chad, did you say all 14, or was that 13?
14.
Could you say them one more time?
Yeah, slower, Chad.
Yeah.
Tilt.
What's the first one, Chad? What's the first one that you would begin with?
Tilt.
Tilt.
Tilt. T-I-L-T.
Yeah.
Spin.
Yeah.
Pitch.
Yeah.
Roll.
Roll, yeah.
Yaw, that's Y, is in yellow, A-W.
What is
sort of
that?
Like y'all with a W.
Yeah.
No, y'all. We don't know what that movement is, do we, Chad?
It's, it's related to ships.
Okay.
You can look it all up, but flip is the sixth.
Flip,
then
yeah.
Heave, like H-E-A-V-E.
Mm-hmm.
Sway.
Yeah.
Surge.
Surge. Okay. Nine.
Phase.
Phase. P-H-A-S-E.
Yeah.
Ten. Yeah.
Amplify.
Ooh, amplify. Okay.
Beam, as in laser beam.
Okay. 12.
Null, as in null, like nullify.
N-U-L-L.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then segue, like S-E-G-U-E. Not the segue thing.
G-U-E.
Like, right. Segue, S-E-G-U-E.
Okay.
And that's 14.
So what about beams, facing, lathe? What's that all about?
No. Beam, phase.
Beam, phase.
Are they included? Because there's more than 14 there.
No, he said 14.
Did you,
that
did
was
you four,
I, 14. Here, one more time. Tilt, spin, pitch, roll, yaw, flip, heave, sway, surge, phase, amplify, beam, null, segue.
So, did you get this from, is this from like private readings with Ion?
This is from Revelations. Like,
this from what you guys have been doing so far?
Yeah, this is from...
Where did you get the 14 degrees? Is it in Wikipedia, or did Ion list them off?
Ion listed them off on Rewrite.
One of the rewrites, an earlier rewrite.
Yeah.
Probably about 6 other rewrites so far.
Yeah, it was said many times, but Ion sometimes would just say a few of them and then later say a couple of the other ones.
So. Right, so they're not in any engineer's book or anything?
They're not called degrees of freedom in an engineer's book, no. So engineer's degrees of freedom are just basically X, Y, and Z axis.
Right.
So no specialty lays out 14 aspects of movement.
Right. What you could say, or what I'm thinking is that, Chad, they're all out there somewhere, but they're all compartmentalized. You know,
they're across different disciplines. You've got stuff here related to boating. You've got the radio stuff.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
it be like an electrical surge or something that ruins your computer.
Could be.
No, I think it's a wave thing. You know, you're on a boat.
Yeah, that too.
So these
waves as well, surge.
Yeah.
Right, so wouldn't these be ships? Airships or sea ships? Those kind of movements.
Well, except when you get to beaming and nulling and amplify and segue. I'm not sure. How would that apply to the ship? Maybe the radio on the ship.
Oh, yeah, so... Another thing
with radio on it.
Yeah, so Barbara, Sue, and Jill, and Sheldon. When you hear Ion say the word fractal, you think of the fractal image you see on paintings or YouTubes. That's not what Ion means by fractal. A fractal is an antenna, and the seventh ring, I think, has the fractal in it. Is that right, Ion? Is the Escher ring where the fractal is?
The combination would give you all of it. Would be an aspect of a fractal.
The whole diagram. Or at least the outer seven rings is the frequency vibration.
Yes, in movement would set the outline for fractal.
Yeah, so you're actually on one level you're looking at a battery, so to speak. Whatever you think the fractal antenna machine is, where do they use fractal antennas, Cheds?
In the GPS in your phone.
GPS in your phone.
Oh. And your DNA has like an antenna, doesn't it?
Your lipids.
Yeah. So the fractal in your cells.
That's good. They don't call him number one for nothing.
So that's when the lipids or the fats where your hormones go out, and that's when the attraction and the antenna is all about?
Yeah. That's good enough for where you're at now.
Okay.
Wow.
So,
that's a lot of information.
Yeah, but
yeah, we thought we'd try to give you some.
That part about the lipids is worth pursuing.
Well, it's worth the price of admission.
We covered it a lot.
That has to do with our frequency, raising our frequency, the lipids.
Yeah,
we covered it about 3 months ago in pretty good detail.
The first thing that the drops, RNA drops, affect
is your lipids. Another way is Ian has said that you look in the atrial diagram and you take the first six, seven rings, because it's difficult. What is the seventh ring? That's the Escher. That's the interplay or where they cross over to each other. The first six rings can be extended to cover the whole cell. And the latter six rings can be, the frequency vibration characteristic can be extended over the whole cell. So they overlap. So it's not as precise as the 14 rings presented visually.
But the interior seven would be what you'd call the physical, and the outside seven would be the combined non-physical applications. But they certainly do overlap.
Hmm.
And then the gate, the seventh ring is where the gates are, where the crossover, if you look at the Escher and how it goes over and then under, over and then under, every time there's an over-under point, consider that a gate. And that's the gates where the interplay is allowed between the vibrational and the chemical.
Ooh.
Except for the one at 9 o'clock. And that's not a gate. That's
a non-gate.
Higher emotions from affecting the physical body.
So, say that sentence again, Ion.
Once again, that's
So let Ion say the sentence again.
Yes.
All the Eschers, where they cross over is a gate. Outside of the seventh ring, that's where emotions are. That's where emotions can come in to have an effect or an application on your physical body. Okay? Your cat dies, you're sad, you cry. That emotion comes in through the Escher and would have the effect of tears in your physical body.
But one gate is not open, and why is that?
The one at 9 o'clock is a buffering filter, because you got to realize this Escher is moving 14 degrees of freedom. It's moving. So if there is an emotion that would not be, you would not want or allow in to your physical, like a cancer, or someone murdering you, or you getting mad and murdering someone else, you could use that movement to exactly as a closed gate or a buffer to not allow you to have any effect, that emotion, what you'd call not a higher emotion, to affect your meat.
So the diagram becomes the cliche thing of the outer, the emotional world affecting your physical. That simple dialectic. There's the simple meanings of the chart, that simple way to look at the outer ring and the inner rings. And then there's the more complex levels where you start seeing a temple and fractals and antennas and chemistry.
And a lotus flower.
You know what I mean? It's there's you and you, and then there's all the complications you make between you and you.
Fire.
Who's banging the pots and pans?
Not too.
That's me, sorry.
That was Barbara?
I didn't realize I was off mute.
Yeah. So
He said this would be the complications that one has put between, you know, you and you.
Yeah.
Would that mean that this diagram represents the labyrinth of the mind?
Yeah, because it is an image for the little man. An ascended man wouldn't be involved with this image.
Yeah, the ascended man
would know.
Yeah, they would know. That's another aspect. The angels are the main actors in the Book of Revelations. So we get John writing how he sees the angels and what they do. But then chapter 23 is the angels get the microphone, and they tell the little man what the little man is, how they see the little man. And so they give their view of the purpose of the drama in the first 22 chapters.
But then again, John was told by an angel all of the revelation in tandem as well. But your perspective would be the difference.
Yeah, he's told what the... So actually John is sitting in chapter 23 being told what the diagram is referring to.
Right.
Sort of, yeah. Right.
By an angel.
Yeah, by an angel.
Sent by God.
Shit my God?
Sent by God, right?
Oh, sent by God.
By God.
Yeah, which is your other self in at the Yamaka continent.
I'm God. I'm a very, very healthy bowel movement. That's nice.
Ship high in transfer. No, in transit.
Yes, ship high in transit.
So that what's interesting, Sue, is you see this diagram crystallizes the whole 68 hours of revelations that you've heard the first in the series, the 22 hours. That's what's pretty neat. When we, see, remember, Ian, at the end of it, will not explain the diagram. It says it's one-on-one. You find out what the angel diagram is if you have a private session. Well, it turned out the private sessions were rewrite, where you have a kind of one-on-one with Ian. It's just that there's a few others attending your one-on-one session. And
there was a Johnson that we couldn't do anything with, so we had to do something with it, so it became rewrite.
A Johnson?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Ian, I knocked the thing out. I missed the last minute. What did you say? You started to say there was?
It was supposed to be for individual private engagement, but we had a Johnson that we couldn't do anything with, so that turned into rewrite.
What's a Johnson?
A Brian.
Hard on.
What's a Johnson?
A Brian.
Brian.
Oh, Brian, yeah. We had a Johnson that we couldn't do anything with?
Yeah.
Oh.
So many questions?
No, demanding.
Well, yeah, he
pushing,
demanded for
free.
He was a typical tailgater demanding it for free, and he wouldn't have a private reading. So I talked to him, and then we organized a free environment, but then we suckered the group to come in. Then we charged them. But the first rewrite session in retrospect was Brian, me, and Larry. Remember that, Brian?
Yeah.
That's, we talked for several hours and we're going over whatever we thought the Bible or the thing meant. And then we said, well, let's do it again. And then Larry didn't want to do it. Well, I just remember calling him and he wasn't interested in doing any more. So then we got Greg and Ginny in. Hmm. And who else did we get? Was it just Greg and Ginny?
I think in the very beginning it was just Greg and Ginny, and then James came in, and then
Margarita maybe came in early somewhere.
Chad?
There. No, Chad's way later. Chad played catch up. He hadn't even listened to the revelations.
Yeah, I came in January.
Yeah, like, you know, 15 sessions in or something. But, hey, Ginny, if you're still, who were the original people? It was Brian, me, and Carolyn. It was seven of us, right? So me, Carolyn, Brian, Ginny, and Greg.
That was it. That was it. And the first couple, I think we went, what, three, the first two or three, and then James came in.
And then Margarita came in, right?
I don't remember how it went after that. I remember James came in. I don't remember how they...
Well, we didn't have Sheila. We didn't have Sasha. We didn't have Deb. We didn't have Chad.
Deb was in before me.
Yeah, so Deb might have been... Deb maybe came in with Margarita.
Yeah, Deb and Margarita were in when I came... And I think when I came in, it was just you guys plus Margarita and Deb.
Well, when did you come in, Sasha? Like January, same time as Chad?
I don't know, Bob. I don't do time.
Okay, well, do you remember, had we done like...
No, I think
it was
Sasha
like
came
20...
In. Sasha came in...
That a girl, that a girl.
What'd you say, Chad?
Sasha came in a little bit after I did, because when we... remember, Sasha, we visited you in Victoria, and I was just about to go into Revelations to rewrite, and you were just about to, like... Sure.
Yeah, I was just shocked because Chad's like, yeah, I've been through 15 chapters in the past day. And I'm like, what? Take me a month.
Right. So Chad was the first of the second. Chad, it sounds like you were the first of the second wave.
Yeah, I think somebody came in at the same time I did. It might have been Deb.
Yeah, and then who? Then Sasha, and then who comes after that?
And then it was Joyce?
Sheila and Joyce came in.
Yeah, Sheila and Joyce at the same time.
And then you have the next phase, third phase, is Jill, Sue, Barbara, Legend, Sheldon.
Yeah,
Bart.
Is Sheldon
here? Oh, yeah, Bart comes in. Beg your pardon?
Is Sheldon still here?
I think so.
Yeah, I'm still here.
How are you doing? How's it going?
Hanging in.
Sheldon, since you're the horse whisperer, I can't believe you didn't go into the horses.
Why is Sheldon the horse whisperer?
I don't know. That's
he's a barrier. Barrier.
Yeah, he actually, I had it wrong.
Oh, cool.
He deals with horseshoes.
Oh, wow.
No, Minion? Shoes horses.
He shoes horses.
That require to be shod.
I do therapeutic work on horses' feet.
Therapeutic work with his feet?
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, cool.
Well, yeah, I think his angel charts about got me fried for the night.
Yeah, I'm going to have a good night.
Quarter to three here. Yeah, we did want to fry you. We want you to realize we spent...
Wait. She missed 222. She's got to stay another 24, doesn't she?
Yeah.
Or at least 12, boy. It'll be 12, 22, 222 again in a minute.
Yeah, right.
I'm waiting for 88.
But we wanted to fry you with the angel diagram because we took 25 sessions on. We did that for 25 weeks, right?
And that was back in the day when quitting time was 6 o'clock in the morning, wasn't it, Bob?
Yeah.